welcome back, friends, for today and the next several episodes. Sarah and I, and leaning very heavily into Joan of the Cross. So Sarah and I, for the next today and next few episodes, we're going to try and put kind of the finishing view, the understanding for which all the garden tends to, which we will call book four, the Fall Garden, glimpses of the union with God. And I put the word glimpses because on this side of eternity, that's what we generally get. Some have longer glimpses, some are shorter, this sort of thing. But because of our fallenness, our humanity, we don't really have this full beatific vision that we're going to have, please God, after our death and are in the state of grace. So that's kind of the preamble with that. The Fall Garden. So let's set up our context a little bit. The heat of the summer has subsided. The joy, and thus the joy of the last crops, is more pronounced because you had to struggle through 103, you know, rain not falling forever, a month, month and a half, 2 months, however long. The sufferings of the summer enhance the enjoyment of the fall garden. And we know not all the plants have made it through the trials. And that worth, but those that do, it was worth that suffering to make it through. And that reminded me of Paul when he says, what can separate us from the love of God? Shipwreck, scourges, drowning, Romans 8:35-39. And so here it is in full. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. This man has been through the ringer, just as our summer garden had been through the ringer, if you will. And you come out through the other side grateful. So what are some of these glimpses in nature that we might see betoking this union with God? For where I live, I have migrating butterflies and birds, and they are delightful. They are absolutely delightful. The last harvest usually produces the most delightful, useful items, apples, wheat, grapes, nuts, before the first frost. And I see within some of these crops, Eucharistic echoes, the wheat and wine harvested in the fall that we, of course, use at the Eucharist. Of course, spring wheat is planted, of course, in spring, and then it's harvested in the fall. And I know that we have new varieties that are called winter wheat. I know that. But the more traditional ones, the ones that our ancestors had. And grapes are generally, they ripen on the vine, and it will be late summer or early fall, depending on that variety. And we have the brilliant colors of gold, purple, and burgundy, royal colors, as the heat gives way to crisp, cool air and blue sky.
Yeah, it's really, I never really thought about that from the standpoint of the, you know, the process by which the wheat and the grapes, you know, all the work that had to go into the labor. You know, I mean, that is one of the parts of the know, that's part of our offering, right? Is that work that was made by human hands. And really, truly, there is an immense amount of work there. Now, the person who brought forth the gift to, or the wheat and the grapes as an offering, truly would have had poured themselves into both of those offerings, really.
They would have. And going through the summer, when it would have been, you know, that's when it's really a tough hoe, as it were. It's worth to get to this point is what adds to the nuance. We recently had the celebration of the birth of Our Lady, and I was at a homily on her, and the question being pondered was the sin. And, you know, why was she preserved? Why weren't the rest of us preserved from sin and all of that? And one distinct reason, and there's several, but one was the first that came to me, we wouldn't know the love of God had he not showed us through his suffering. Some others are, of course, we wouldn't understand the gravity of sin. We're all very, very comfortable in a fallen world with sin. And so we lose track that that's a real problem when you want a relationship with the Holy God. And, of course, that which isn't assumed can't be saved. So he had to enter all of humanity, save sin, to redeem it. So those were some of the reasons for that. But the suffering, going through the hot summer, using our garden analogy, going through the dark night of the soul to get to that other side of beatitude.
Right. Yeah, I mean, there's, you know, anybody who has put in to any project an immense amount of labor and has the joy of seeing it brought to fruition will certainly understand that aspect of how good it feels to be on the other side.
Yes. John. Maybe the mother who sees her child, right?
Yeah.
Finally. Sure. And there's always a bittersweetness, you know, because the child's leaving the home and, you know, God willing, you actually enjoy that child's company.
That's true. Can't always be taken as a given.
Cannot, but you do enjoy that. And they go off to do the mission work that God has for them. And so that is, you know, a little that that's the goal that was told us we were aiming for. But it took certainly a lot of suffering and trial to get to that point.
Right. Absolutely. I mean, and I think, you know, on earth right now, the bittersweetness of arriving at the end of the garden is that we know that we're not made just for one season. Right. I mean, and we know that, you know, at the end there's, for us, there's the awareness that it's over, but then the sorrow, as it were, to know that it needs to begin again. And the same thing would be true with our kids. Like you said, you know, maybe there's a little bit of bittersweetness at the end because you know that the task that was set has made it to a certain point. And yet, you know, there might be another one who's coming down the pike, or maybe that there's no one else coming down the pike. But I mean, for us, this is all about more or less the process of how are we seeking God's will. And, you know, like you said, that's, I think you said it very eloquently at the beginning, where you said, these are glimpses, right? These are glimpses that we have to be content with them because the fullness is not for us yet here.
That's right. All right, my friends, let us pick up in the next episode. We're going to consider a little bit more fully what some of these glimpses might entail. Till then, my friends, be days. I brought you.